Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Outside the pull of gravity, beyond the spectral veil.
That's the late, great Dan Fogelberg bringing us back. That's Nexus. The song is called Nexus. First one on the Innocent Age album that I encourage you to check out for years now. It's a great album. Welcome back. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. And the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. I'm having a great visit with a new friend, Herstal Jones, investment advisor, registered investment advisor. That means he's a fiduciary. That means it's not an implied fiduciary. I mean, it's an explicit fiduciary. He has things he has to do, or he goes to jail, right, Herstal?
That's exactly right, Jim. That's exactly right.
The new World of Retirement, a guidebook. Herstal, one of the things that I want you to expand on a little bit is this Department of Labor rule that blew up your industry, basically, because it expanded the fiduciary to people who weren't previously fiduciaries, didn't it?
Well, exactly, it did, and that's expected to go into effect on April 10th, Jim. But the rumor in the industry is it's been delayed for 180 days, and that's not true. It's not been delayed for 180 days. It's still going to come into effect April 10th, unless we get a delay between now and then.
Can he do that? President Trump can do that with executive order,
well,
can he?
Well, here's specifically what happened, what I was talking about before the prior break on the show this morning, is Trump has actually tasked the DOL to relook at the rule and to prepare an updated economic and legal analysis, really, of the rule to determine whether it's likely to harm investors, disrupt the industry, or cause an increase in litigation and overall the price of advice.
What do you think about the rule, the DOL rule, expanding the fiduciary?
I think it's a great rule, but I think that they actually
rushed to... A lot of people disagree with you.
Yeah, well, if they're not a fiduciary, they're going to disagree. But I
right.
think for the betterment of the consumer, I think it's a good rule, Jim. However,
so,
I think they rushed.
So this would be agents and commissioned folks and agents and people like that, stockbrokers, people like that, they're... The investment advisors, non-registered, they'd be
it
registered.
It doesn't matter who you are. If you're talking to somebody about retirement assets, as the rule currently sits,
right.
you must serve as a fiduciary April 10th of this
An
year.
An explicit fiduciary.
That's exactly right.
That's going to change the industry significantly. That's going to put some people, a lot of folks are going to take early retirement when they get that.
That's exactly right. But here's where some of the confusion lays and where some of the nuances in the actual rule lie right now, Jim. For example, the rule specifies retirement assets. Well, there are a lot of people that invest monies that are not retirement assets,
right.
non-qualified funds.
Right.
Now, as a current fiduciary, I must serve as a fiduciary with all types of assets. According to this rule, I would only need to serve as a fiduciary with retirement assets. So I think that's kind of going backwards a little
bit. So that's going to loosen you up a little bit, isn't it?
Well, it's not
but
going
isn't
to
that gonna,
I've
isn't
agreed.
That, isn't this going to wind up being another attorney, the trial bar's another trial bar retirement plan?
Well, there's no doubt there's going to be a lot of
Can
litigation,
you imagine
a lot
the
of lawsuits.
Because see, if you eased up on your fiduciary for non-retirement things, and people said, no, wait a minute, he's a fiduciary, and they said, no, the law says he doesn't have to be for that particular thing that he advised you about, and you said, oh no, I thought he was. Therefore I'm suing you. I mean, that's how it's going to work.
Well, there's two ways of doing things, right, Jim? It's by the law, or if you have a higher standard of code of ethics, you go by that, and that's why I run my practice. So
right.
just because the law says that, I'm not going to change my way on non-qualified monies. I'll act as a fiduciary across the table.
Right. But if I just want to buy an insurance policy, can that person
sell... Well, I won't be a fiduciary for you because, you know, I'd be an insurance agent.
I know, but if I talk to an insurance agent about an insurance policy, and it's a whole life policy or a universal policy, and somewhere in the conversation, the person selling it says, and this, if you pay this out to 65, you'll have this much cash flow, this much cash value. If you pay it out to 85, blank, blank, you know, blah, blah, blah. If they use that kind of forward projection language, does that make them get them involved in your retirement?
Well, there's no doubt it does.
So that means that the fiduciary applies to them then.
Well, yeah, if they're not a fiduciary before April 10th, they can talk to you, you know, as long as they're offering you a suitable solution, everything's fine. But come April 10th, if they're talking to you about retirement assets,
but I mean, but an insurance policy for today's death benefits, but potential future cash flow if you live, is that considered a retirement conversation?
No, it technically is not according to the rule, because life insurance cannot be purchased with qualified retirement assets.
Interesting. I'm going to ask you to take the devil's advocate. I got about a minute left. What is the big argument for the people who, you like the fiduciary rule, what is the argument against it? What would they say, the people on the other side? I just don't have them here today.
Well, one of the big issues right now is the cost, the actual implementation of the rule. Because, you know, I think it was designed and passed too quickly. For example, when you have four regulatory bodies involved, like the SEC, FINRA, and now the Department of Labor, and then you add all the insurance departments, it can get very complicated, Jim, and costly. And so that can backfire if it's not done properly.
Would you have rather seen the fiduciary rule be more deliberated and maybe even become a part of a law rather than the promulgation of a law by the Department of Labor?
Without a doubt, because this can very easily drive up the cost, and it can make it very difficult to provide financial advice to the end client.
Isn't this one of the problems we have in America, is agencies promulgating laws not intended by the Congress?
Absolutely.
Across the board. I don't mean just in this particular issue here.
I agree with you.
Herschel, I need your website, and tell us how we can find your book.
You bet. The name of the book, Jim, and so much again, thanks for having me on the show today, but the name of the book is The New World of Retirement, a guidebook. It's on Amazon.
All right. And your own website?
www.jones-associates.net.
Hey, Herschel, will you come back again? We got more to teach us.
Absolutely, Jim. Thanks so much for having me on the show today.
We enjoyed having you. Herschel Jones, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back another day. I'll be back after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.